Listener, I was checking the feed and I realized, man, it's been 7 months since I've last released a Black Label to the free feed. I like to do that on occasion because it's a good way to promote the Patreon. So, for this week and next week, you're going to get free Black Label. It's going to be a two-parter on the Parkland shooting. If you like what you hear and you want more intense coverage, head to patreon.com/obscurecrimepodcast. I want you to keep in mind, these two episodes were only last month's Black Labels. Every month I'm releasing these kinds of episodes. So if you're into the hard stuff, again, patreon.com/obscurecrimepodcast. And it's a really good time as well, because in the next month or two, the next White Label's coming out. And if you're not aware of what that is, think of it like Super Black Label. They're extra long Black Label episodes that come out quarterly. Anyway, now that I'm done promoting the show, thank you for listening, keep the fire burning, and let's get on with it.
One classmate tells ABC News he ended any communication with Cruz as his behavior spiraled downward.
He started going after one of my friends and threatening her, and I cut off from there. He got suspended a lot of times, and he sold knives in his lunchboxes, and he was expelled. But no one expected him to come back next year.
Chapter 3. They knew. Nicholas Cruz worked at a Dollar Tree and enrolled in a GED program. He was a member of the Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps. Actually, while he was still in school, he was a member of the Varsity Air Rifle Team. After his adoptive mother, Linda, died, he lived with friends and family. While working at Dollar Tree, Nicholas Cruz once rang up a co-worker's mother. The mother tried to talk with Nicholas Cruz about online schooling and things that could possibly help him. Nicholas Cruz responded by saying he could shoot up Stoneman Douglas, and he could shoot her too. This was the only time she heard Cruz say anything like this. She did not feel comfortable talking to him after that. This incident was not reported to law enforcement. The co-worker knew that Nicholas Cruz had been expelled from Stoneman Douglas. It was reportedly because he had brought a weapon in his backpack and been involved in a large fight. A witness from Stoneman Douglas knew Nicholas Cruz because he had dated her friend. She knew that Cruz abused her friend. She knew Cruz had killed frogs, lizards, and squirrels. She had heard that Cruz had brought knives and bullets to school, but didn't actually see them herself. She was aware of previous posts made by Cruz of deceased animals and firearms and threats. In fact, Cruz threatened her via Instagram in 2016. After his relationship with her friend ended, Cruz told her that he would kill her, rape her, and hurt her family, and kill all the people that she cared about. Cruz would sometimes throw things at her when they were eating lunch. She no longer had any of the messages or videos from 2016 saved. She had deleted them out of fear. She said that Cruz had also threatened his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. Cruz physically attacked the new boyfriend at school, possibly sometime in late 2016. None of this information was ever reported to law enforcement.
Sheriff's office.
Hello. So my issue is me and my mother, we have adopted two children.
Uh-huh.
One is 19, one is 17. Their mother passed away not too long ago, January 1st, or when we adopted them.
Uh-huh.
My mother was a good friend. So the 19-year-old, he has tested weapons, guns. He has many of them. I told him, the rules are there are no weapons on my property. No guns. I don't want any of that because my mother and her ex-boyfriend have a child and they're fighting for custody and a gun would be really, you know, terrible. But I just found a box for a 9mm weapon that the 19-year-old must have brought, and there's shovels next to it, and he was in the backyard behind the fence digging for 15 minutes, and I'm positive that he hit a weapon. I'm positive that he hit a 9mm carbine in the back.
Okay, what's the address there?
6469 Easter, like Easter Bunny,
mm-hmm.
K Way. And we're positive he had weapons, but we don't want him to know about it because, well, he's not exactly, but he can be.
Okay. And he's
so
like,
I don't want him to know. He's working right now. I don't want him to know. I want to find the weapon if he hid something without him knowing so I could confront him about it because I'm honestly afraid for my mother, my little brother.
Okay. You said he was 19 years old?
He is 19 years old.
Okay. And you said you told him no weapons were allowed in the house?
I told him there is no weapons, and that is law on my property. No weapons allowed in this house.
Okay. Where is he at right now?
He is working at the dollar store.
Okay. So he's not even there right now?
Not now, but he should be back sometime soon.
Okay. What's your name, sir?
My name is Rock.
Spell it for me.
R-O-C-K.
And your last name?
D-E-S-C-H-A-M-E-S.
And what's the telephone number in case I need to call you back?
911 emergency, how can I help you?
Yeah, there was a fight in my house. The kid and my son.
Okay,
I'm punching him and now he left the house, but I need somebody here because I'm afraid he comes back and he has a lot of weapons. And he has a weapon, he's going to get a Dick's right now because he purchased it.
What kind of weapon, ma'am?
Let me ask my son. What kind of weapon did he get that he's going to get?
A Remington.
Okay, and what's the address again? Is that a house or an apartment?
It's a house. It's a rental home.
Okay, and who did this?
Nicholas Cruz.
Is he a friend, a brother, uncle, sister, what?
No, he was just somebody I took in because his mother just passed away.
Okay, and what is your last name?
I was... Yes.
And your first name? And how old is the subject?
19.
How old is your son?
22. And he's going to get his weapon at Dick's, I know that right now. He's been waiting for it, and he knows he's not allowed to bring any guns. So now he's pissed off, so he's going to get the gun.
And how long ago did this happen?
It just happened, and he just walked out of the house.
Dick's, like Dick's Sporting Goods?
Yeah, he bought a gun about a week and a half ago, and he gets it today, so that we think that he's going there now. Because that's all he wants is his gun, and that's all he cares about is his gun, and he bought tons of, bullets and stuff, and I took it away from him, and I have a bunch of other little guns here. And BB guns, though, but he has a real gun that he's going to get now. He also dig in the backyard because he knew he was not allowed to bring it here, and we found that he did a size for the box. So he was going to bury the gun there. So I cannot have him on the premises now. He put the gun in the head of his brother before, so it's not the first time. And he did that to his mom. His mom died November 3rd. So he's not... It's not the first time he put a gun on somebody's head.
Okay, so what started the fight?
Basically, he was mad. I don't know. He was in the car with us, and we just came back from doing the errands and getting the kids out of school, so I could put his son to school here. And we went to the funeral home, and then... started to be pissed at me and just giving me shit in the car, and I told him that, you know, he has no reason. reason to give me shit, all everything I do, and you wanted me to drop him off at his friend's, and I had an appointment at 3 o'clock. I had to come home, and I have my 5-year-old to pick up at the daycare, so I had to come back and drop him off in Parkland. So he got pissed off, and then he came in the house and started banging all the doors and banging in the walls, hitting the walls, hitting, throwing everything in the room, and then my son got in there, and he said, stop it, and he didn't want to stop. Yeah, he punched him in the, not my son, but Nick punched him in the face, and you kind of hold him just so he doesn't punch and put him down, but he kept punching, and my son threw him out. He took one of the bullets out of the bullets that he bought this week, and those bullets are for the new gun that he just bought, so he might have a bullet on him. Shotgun slug. 12-gauge shot shell. Huh? Double lock buck. Whatever that is. Double lock buck.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. We'll send someone over there, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Another interview from another student. He knew Nicholas Cruz from sitting near him in a class. Cruz would look up the number 666 on the classroom computer. He would look at disturbing images, including gore. Cruz also looked up how to make a nail bomb. Cruz would make strange comments. He once remarked about the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida. Cruz said that he was glad that they killed all those gay people. This student stated that Nicholas Cruz had intentionally destroyed other students' projects when no one else was present in class. Cruz also spoke about the term white power. And he remembered that he was fond of swastikas, that he had drawn one on his backpack. Cruz had previously sent him a picture of a firearm. He did not respond to the messages. He also knew about a time when a teacher observed Cruz on campus in August of 2017. He heard that Cruz had been expelled to a different school, but did not have the exact details about why. None of this was reported to law enforcement. An owner of a firearm business was interviewed. He recognized Cruz after seeing media coverage after the shooting occurred. He described a time when Cruz entered the store, and he may have been 17 years old at the time. He did not purchase anything on that visit. Cruz returned to the store a few months later, after turning 18, with a female he introduced as his grandmother to purchase a firearm. He described the woman with Cruz as an older white female with white hair. This was most likely Linda Cruz. The employee completed the process for Cruz to purchase a firearm. The woman who had been with Cruz called the store the following day and told the employee, "Do not release the gun if I'm not present with him." He asked why and if something was bothering her about selling the gun that he had to know. The female caller, presumably Linda Cruz, said that it was, quote, "just because he was young and to make sure he's safe and everything." The employee explained to the person presumed to be Linda Cruz that if Nicholas Cruz wanted to pick up a firearm himself, he would not stop him unless she provided a reason to do otherwise. She responded that, "No, he's fine. I just want to make sure he's safe, you know. He's young. The first gun. He sold Cruz the firearm, but it was actually released to Cruz by a different employee days later." The employee later noticed Cruz in the store with other people dressed in camo. He noticed that Cruz had a swastika drawn on his left wrist with a pen or a marker.
Good afternoon. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead and sit down and put your hand on. Put your hand on and sit down. If you would please lean into the microphone when you're speaking and state your full name and spell your last name for the record.
Madeline Wilford, W-I-L-F-O-R-D.
Good morning, Ms. Wilford. How are you?
Good.
Good. Are you going to school?
I am.
Where do you go to school?
Southern Utah University. I'll be a junior this upcoming year.
Okay. Where did you go to high school?
Stoneman Douglas.
And did you graduate from Stoneman Douglas?
Yes.
What year did you graduate?
2019.
I'd like to call your attention to February the 14th, 2019. Do you remember that date?
Yes.
I'd like to call your attention specifically to the fourth period of that day. Were you in school?
Yes.
And where were you during fourth period?
I was in AP Psychology.
With Ms. Riordan?
Correct.
And was that classroom 1213?
Yes.
Okay, could you tell us what happened?
We were just going about class like normal, and we heard shots.
Holy shit.
It took us a second to realize what was happening, but when they were fired off again is when we started to move and hide. I was stuck between the teacher's desk and her podium, and then I was just hiding until I felt myself get hit. I didn't know how many times, I just knew I was hit. To see if anyone could help me, but all I saw was blood on the floor. So I just kind of turned around, and when the fire alarm went off, I also thought that hopefully, like, they knew what was going on and so that they were coming soon, but I ended up passing out. And then...
What's the next thing you remember after you passed out?
I was in and out of consciousness until I fully woke up that Thursday night, Friday morning.
Okay. So. And so, do you know what happened to you?
Yes.
What happened to you?
I was shot 4 times in my right arm, my right lung, some of my ribs on my right side, and I had surgery on my abdomen.
Okay. And how many surgeries have you had?
3.
3. Are there any after effects from your surgeries?
Thankfully, I had a great orthopedic surgeon, so I'm able to use my hand, but I still do have trouble breathing with my lung.
Okay. And you passed out. You remember how you got out of the classroom. Is that correct?
I briefly remember hearing the responders, but...
Maddie?
I mean, I didn't really like, and I remember being in the ambulance, but I don't remember much.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Wolford. John, I have no further questions.
Swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. So, please be seated. Once you're seated, if I need you to scoot that chair all the way up as far as it will go, can you please state your full name and spell your full name?
Anthony Borges, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y, B-O-R-G-E-S.
Mr. Kuehler, you may inquire.
Thanks, Judge. Anthony, how old are you?
20 now.
Where did you go to high school?
Myers Thomas Douglas.
Back on February 14th of 2018, how old were you?
15 years old.
On that day, when you were 15 years old, were you shot? Were you shot? Were you shot with a gun?
Five times.
Where were you shot?
On my left leg. That was my first shot. And then two more on my lower.
Can you just speak up a little bit, Anthony? Sorry.
Yeah. I got three shots on one left leg, and then two more on my body.
Your Honor, can I ask the witness to step down to show his wounds?
Sure. You may.
And if you can please show for the jury the injuries to your legs. And if you can please show the injuries to your torso. Now, going back to the beginning part of February 14th, 2018, was it a normal day?
It was a straight normal day.
Was it Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Did you have plans for Valentine's Day after school?
I had a plan with my ex-girlfriend, Nicole.
Ex-girlfriend, but girlfriend at the time.
I had a teddy bear and everything. I had a plan to see her after school.
Okay, so the teddy bear was a gift for her?
Yes.
Okay. Now, where were you during fourth period?
Study hall.
Study hall. What building were you in?
12.
The 12 building, the 1200 building. What floor were you on?
Third floor.
Do you recall what class you were in?
Was the number?
Yes, the
class?
Number.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay. It was study hall, though.
Yeah, it was study hall.
Okay. Now, during study hall, were you allowed to wear headphones?
Yeah, pretty much you can do anything, homework, music, whatever you want.
Okay. That day, were you wearing headphones?
Yes, correct.
Now, at some point in time, during the fourth period, did the fire alarm go off?
Yes.
Okay. Before the fire alarm went off, did you hear any sort of unusual noises that you didn't typically hear on a normal school day?
There was a weird, like, a whistle sound, but I didn't pay attention to much, but it was, like, kind of weird.
Like a whistle sound?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any idea what that sound was?
No.
Now, you see the other students kind of towards the top of the picture.
Yes.
This happened after the fire alarm went off.
Oh, shit. Bro, what? I know you. I know you guys hear me.
Now I'm going behind the cupboard.
It sounds like somebody in the bathroom.
Shh.
This sounds
like fucking
gunshot.
It doesn't, right?
Yeah. What the fuck?
When the alarm went on, everybody went outside, normal thing. But then it went off, so everybody looked weird, confused, like they didn't know what happened, and then it went on and off.
Okay. So when it was on, when the fire alarm was still going on, did you hear any other loud noises at this point in time?
No.
Okay. At some point in time, did you hear other loud noises?
Yes.
What were they?
What you mean?
Were they gunshots?
There were loud gunshots, super loud.
Explain to the jury what happened while you were in the hallway, when you heard those gunshots.
So when I was in the hallway, I was like ready to go down on the west side, to go into the downstairs. That's when I saw like kind of the gun, like half open the door and then I just close the door and then turn around back and start running.
So when you were shot, you were running away?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember whether you were shot in the legs, lower body, or the upper body first?
I just feel the first shot on my left leg.
Your left leg?
Other than that, no.
When you were shot in your left leg, did you collapse to the floor?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what that picture showed, is that where you were on the floor for approximately 40 minutes after you were shot?
Yes, correct.
Now, when you were on the floor after you were shot, did you try to get up?
I tried to get up. And
were you able to?
Yeah, couldn't.
Can you describe for me, did you see any of your blood?
There was a lot of blood around me.
What, did you feel pain?
Nothing, not at all.
Okay. Were you in shock?
Not really.
Okay. What did you see besides your own blood? Were you able to look around?
Yeah, I was able to look around. I was looking like a few victims.
You saw a few other victims who were on the ground?
Yes.
Right after you were shot, did you see the shooter?
I saw him when he shot me, but kind of like when I went to the floor and looked like fast.
Okay.
He was holding with one hand.
Did you, when you were on the floor, did he ever shoot you again?
No.
Okay. So the five shots were all one barrage.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. At any point in time, do you remember losing consciousness?
No, not at all.
What else did you do while you were on the floor? Did you have your phone with you that day?
Yes, I did.
Did you make any phone calls while you were on the floor?
I called my mom first. She didn't answer. I called my best friend. He didn't answer it. And then I called my dad. That's when he answered.
Your dad answered the phone?
Yes.
Did you speak to your father?
Yes.
Why did you call your dad?
My final saying goodbye to him.
Did you think that you were going to die?
Yes.
What else were you thinking while you were on the floor on the third?
When I threw the phone away and everything, I was thinking about like where's the help, where's the cops, like how long they're gonna take this for taking me out, you know?
In terms of your thought process, where are the cops, where's the help? Did you keep thinking that over the course of the 40 some odd minutes you were on the floor, or did you eventually stop thinking about that?
I eventually accepted that, so I was like, you know what, I'll just chill over here.
Can you just say that louder? I'm sorry.
I just accepted that.
You accepted that you were going to die.
Yeah.
In most of the clips, the children are huddled together in panic. Towards the end, you will hear Anthony Borges screaming on the third floor.
It's okay.
Shut the lights.
We're good. Don't panic.
What's going on? Anyone know?
Shut up.
This is real? You think this is real?
Shut up.
There's no way.
Stop on. Bro.
I'm not money.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Now, ultimately, police did come to the third floor. Do you remember that?
Hmm?
Eventually, police officers arrive on the third floor.
Yeah, after 40, 45 minutes.
Say that louder. You got to.
Yeah, after 40, 45 minutes, so the cops came.
Okay. And do you remember what those police officers did?
The tonic on my legs, my body, they check everything. I was right. They asked me for my name, where I'm from, how old I am, everything.
Okay, so you said that the tourniquet was put on your legs?
Yes.
Okay, were you in the hallway when the tourniquets were applied, or were you somewhere else?
I was in the hallway, still.
Were you ever dragged from the hallway into, like, the stair, the landing?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in terms of your injuries, we obviously saw them, but approximately how many surgeries have you had?
13 surgeries.
13 or 14 surgeries?
Yes.
Okay. Now, previous to February 14th, 2018, did you play any sports?
Yeah, I did play soccer. That was my whole career.
So that was what your dream was, to play soccer?
Yeah, I was literally there to be professional. I was going to Brazil and play.
So let's slow down there, just because you spoke kind of fast there.
Yeah.
You went to Marjory Stoneman Douglas to play soccer?
Yes.
Okay. And your hope was to go to Brazil to play at some professional level?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
These injuries, did they prevent that from ever occurring?
For sure. Yes.
In the next audio, you can hear as students panic in room 1213 because they don't know who is at their door. Then the instant relief that comes from the police arriving. The shot students are immediately carried out, at least the ones that lived. The classroom slowly breaks down and cries in unison, the gravity of the situation breaking through the adrenaline that comes with fear. I'm going to combine these various clips from room 1213, and I'll actually play some footage from a separate angle. That's why you might hear some repeated audio. After carrying some of the shot students out, it appears that some will need to be carried out in body bags. In the next clip, it sets in that some of their classmates are not going to make it. The students are then herded through the hallway, which is full of the bodies of their dead classmates. Their reaction is understandable. At a certain point, the girl recording sees daylight from the double door entrance of the school and breaks into a run.
Logan, my desk is my water bottle. Can you get my phone? With the bag, with the water bottle next to the balloon.
Logan, are you okay?
Yes.
Let's go, come on. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, follow me.
Okay, please.
On the wall.
Go.
On the wall.
Oh my God.
On the street.
Oh my God.
All right, come on.
Nicholas Cruz. Cruz fled the scene by blending in with the students from the school. It didn't take long before he was spotted. The following audio is from Nicholas Cruz's arrest, where he initially pretends to be crazy and being controlled by demons and voices. A very Hollywood version of crazy, that is. The arresting officers don't seem that impressed with the story.
What's going on? What's going on today, bro?
The demons, man.
Demons?
Voices.
Yeah, no problem.
Voices.
Voices and demons?
Where's the voices? What the fuck? Where the fuck am I? Holy shit. What happened?
Shut up. Just be quiet, man.
Shut up.
Listener, the point of these episodes were to provide a snapshot of a single point in time. I did my best to steer away from commentary or get into the political. Because of this, I'm not going to get into much of the aftermath. Both sides of the political spectrum began to scream and shout at each other. They turned all of this into a political battleground. All while the bodies of the children killed during the Parkland shooting were still warm, Nicholas Cruz was sentenced to 34 consecutive life sentences for the murder of 17 people and the attempted murder of 17 more. I'm going to leave you with a victim impact statement of one of the people Cruz attempted to kill. Her name is Stacy LaPelle. She is an English teacher and survivor at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And I think it's worth leaving her with the last word.
You don't know me, but you tried to kill me. I will have a scar on my arm in the memory of you pointing your gun at me, ingrained in my brain forever. The person I was at 2:20 on Wednesday, February 14th, 2018, is not the same one who stands here today. I am broken and altered, and I will never look at the world the same way again. I used to be eternally happy and relatively carefree, but now I have worries and fears that seem unreasonable to most. There's a change in me that runs deep. There's underlying sadness within me that is never quite gone. Part of me is damaged, and I can feel how different I am, even if it isn't visible. The scars inside of me are those of horror and guilt. Horror at the memories of what you left behind in your wake, and the guilt that I am left with because I wish I could have done more to save my coworkers and my students who you killed. Why should I bear any burden from what you created? I look at the world differently now, with very little trust in a defensive mindset. I try not to let those who are close to me see it because I am the pulse of my family. They rely on me for comfort, for strength, and my ability to look at situations in a logical manner. I have walls up because I feel like I am always in protection mode. This has fractured friendships and altered relationships with my family members. I can't accept it when someone wants to comfort me because I feel like I must always be strong. This has repelled people from my life. It is now a knee-jerk reaction, the new me. My kids almost lost their mother, and my husband almost lost his wife. Their view of the world and their innocence was taken from them as well. My children were at school that day too. They were afraid for themselves, but even worse, they thought I was dead. Teenagers who were living their best life were faced with unheard trauma, attending funerals of their friends and watching over me, their own mother, for signs of unraveling. I see you in my nightmares and in my daydreams, and not a day goes by that I don't think about that horrible day. Because of you, I check for all exits wherever I am. Because of you, I think of the worst case scenario for myself and my family. Because of you, I will never feel safe again. This statement is offering just a crumb of closure for me, knowing that I will live with this until I take my last breath. I am disappointed and disgusted with the verdict that was handed to you. You do not deserve the best case scenario, and under any circumstance, the idea that you, a cold-blooded killer, can actually live each day, eat your meals, and put your head down at night seems completely unjust. The only comfort I have is that your life in prison will be filled with horror and fear. So my hope for you is that you die sooner rather than later. I have no forgiveness in my heart for you. You are a monster with no remorse, and every breath you take is a breath wasted.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.